Welcome to Four Down Territory. As Stink and Mike take a look at the four biggest stories in Denver sports. Here's Schlereth and Evans kicking it off with First Down.
Good morning, everybody. Now, that is more like it, what we saw from the Nuggets yesterday after a couple of home losses to Phoenix and Minnesota. They blew out Cleveland yesterday, 130-101, led by who else? Nikola Jokic. This is just stupid. 26 points, 18 rebounds, 16 assists. He was a plus 37.
It's not bad.
While he was out there on the court. And the Nuggets got back to what the Nuggets do offensively as they shot 57% from the field, 64% from three, and had 36 assists. Michael Malone noting the obvious.
Unbelievable ball movement. You know, that's what I loved about tonight was, yes, we made 21 threes, and the last couple of games we couldn't make a three, but I think more importantly was how we generated those looks, the ball movement, the body movement, and everybody really just kind of committing to playing for the guy next to them and making plays for your teammate, and then everybody benefits from that.
Let me ask Nugget fans out there, did you need this game? Did you need this win, this performance? Were you starting to get a little bit anxious after those losses to Phoenix and Minnesota? I'll throw that out there on the Ramoslaw.com text line, 303-713-1043.
Were you starting to?
No. Listen, I know how important Jamal Murray is to the Nuggets and the success of the Nuggets, and also how they got out of their game a little bit without him, and they settled for three-pointers, and they weren't hitting them, and all that kind of stuff. But no, I didn't need this game. Even with the losses to Phoenix and Minnesota, I still felt very confident in who the Nuggets are and how they've established themselves so far.
It's yet another example they know how to flip the switch.
Uh-huh.
Right? You lose a couple of games. There's probably this feeling settling in. Hey, let's just get this season over with. Let's stay healthy. We only have seven games left. But then they lose a couple, and it's like, well, all right, let's just go out and remind everybody who we are.
Right. Yeah.
And then we can go back to, you know, playing out the string. So, yeah, but no Jamal Murray. And it's certainly starting to feel more and more like they're shutting him down for the balance of the rest of the season, which I think is smart. If he's banged up enough, hurt enough to have sat out the last handful of games, then what's the point in bringing him back until maybe there's like a couple of games left in the regular season?
Right.
Get him ready for the playoffs. Give him a couple games to get out and get, you know, 25 minutes a game, and then boom, you're ready to go.
Second down.
The Avalanche. Oh, a lot of guys got a chance to feed the other day in their 7-4 win over Nashville. That did involve having to once again come from behind, and they made a change in goal during that game early in the second period after a rough start for Alexander Georgiev. They went to Justus Onanen, and the Avalanche responded. And they roar back. So as they get ready to play tonight in Columbus, who's the goaltender?
Whoa.
Because if you come right back with Onanen tonight.
Yeah.
Controversy. The only thing better than a quarterback controversy is a goaltender controversy.
That's a great question. Who do you think? You think they're going to come back?
I think they come back with Georgie. I don't think... Onanen, see, here's the thing. Onanen accepts his role. Mm-hmm. He's good with it. He's in the right space for it. Goaltenders are quirky. They're quirky people. Do you really want to start messing with Georgiev's confidence? Do you want to start feeling like you have to send Georgiev messages this late in the season? Or do you want to just mama cat him?
Oh, I'm all about sending messages. I'd like to see.
The goaltenders, man. I know.
I don't want to hear about how mentally soft they are.
Dude, they think spraying water on their face after giving up the goal is the magic elixir.
Yeah. No, I don't. He needs a little message sent. I agree with you, though. I think Georgie's between the pipes tonight.
Well, it's a bad Columbus team, so this is definitely a chance for Georgiev to get right.
Mm-hmm.
But the Avalanche hopefully continue to roll offensively like they did the other day.
Third down.
The Rockies lose 3 out of 4 in Arizona. Did you see anything that you liked? Anything that gave you hope?
No.
No? Nothing? Nothing at all?
No. Nothing. Did you?
Well, they won a game. Part of me wouldn't have been surprised if they got swept. They did win a game.
They did win a game.
Scored 9 runs in the game that they won.
How many, in the game they won, how many innings did their starter go? That's the other thing you're going to get into. I mean, you had Freeland go, what, 2 1/3 or something like that? 3 1/3, whatever it was. Like, you start...
Even in a win, Gomber only went 4 2/3.
Yeah. So what's going to happen to you is on top of not having good starting pitching, your bullpen is just going to be spent by May.
Meanwhile, the team that we've adopted,
yes,
since the Rockies stink, the Orioles, they took 2 out of 3 in their opening series against the Angels. So
we need to get
go Orioles.
We need to get Oriole highlights too. Maybe we can put an Oriole highlight in the next.
We're gonna go.
Yeah, we're going full.
Full. We're going full.
This,
with this.
This is our team.
This is our team.
We're taking them.
Yep.
1, 2, 3. Fourth down.
Congratulations to the DU Pioneers. One of the top programs in all of college hockey going back to the Frozen Four.
2 seconds. 1 second. Denver is going to go on to the Frozen Faceoff in St. Paul. They mob Mac Davis, who gives up 1 goal, and Denver wins it 2-1.
Boy, Jay Stickney with the call. A couple of nail biters. Beat UMass in overtime. 2-1 over Cornell. Got to get the offense going a little bit, but that's down the road. They've got a week off and then head off to St. Paul for the Frozen Four. They'll take on Boston University. It is a blue blood Frozen Four with DU, BU, Boston College, Michigan, the four schools that combine 28 national championships.
Mm. That is huge. You said 9 for Michigan and 9 for Denver?
Yep.
That's big time.
That's big time.
That is big time. I did not realize that Michigan has such a hockey program.
Oh, yeah. Think that Harbaugh went to any hockey games while he was there?
Oh, you know he did. Right? Just in his khakis. Right there on the glass. Face pressed up against it.
Talking to the hockey coach afterwards.
Yeah. Trying to figure out what the equivalent is of a great offensive line is in hockey. It's like, it's the only position.
You got to be strong through the middle. Good centers. You need good centers in hockey. Got to have 4 good centers. That'll do it for Four Down Territory, our tour around the Denver sports scene. Lot to react to as we give you a chance. Best thing you saw this weekend, Dak Prescott. Should the Broncos just tank this year and go all in on Dak as a free agent next year, if Dak is one? And also coming up, what more can you say about Nikola Jokic? Maybe we saw another level from Nikola Jokic, and we'll share that and tell you why next.
With an advanced network, cybersecurity solutions, and trusted partnership, Comcast Business powers more businesses than anyone. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Get started with internet and security for your small business for $49.99 a month for 12 months with a 2-year contract. Plus, ask how to get up to an $800 prepaid card with qualifying internet. Call today. Ends 5/5/24. Restrictions apply. New customers only with 50 megabits per second internet and security edge. Eco bill and auto pay required. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra.
Schlereth and Evans on Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan.
Michael Malone. You know, it's funny, for a guy that is a defending NBA champion and has his team in the playoffs for the 6th straight year, they clinched a playoff berth yesterday.
Yeah.
Nuggets did. You could tell that there was a weight lifted off his shoulders after their performance against Cleveland yesterday. He's been grinding lately.
Yeah.
Grinding.
Well, he wants his team to play a certain style of basketball that he knows is a winning style. He knows what the formula looks like, and they flat haven't been playing it last couple of games out. Well, against Phoenix, they didn't play it that way. Against Minnesota, Minnesota was probably the worst loss of the year. And so he's been uptight about it.
Yeah. Well, he was much more relaxed after the game yesterday. Very, very, very reflective about the opportunity he has gained a chance to coach this team.
That's one of my challenges, is that for this team, for Nikola, for Jamal, for any of our guys, never to take them for granted. No, really, it's like I don't take my job for granted. During the national anthem every night, I always think about, cherish and savor every moment in the NBA. Chuck Daly passed that along to my father, passed it along to me. I am a really lucky guy to coach this team for 9 years now.
I love that.
Well, take a bow, Michael Malone. You're a big part of why this team plays the way that they do, shares the ball the way they do, has the kind of culture that they do. You're a big part of it.
Yeah. I think it's important. You know, we live in a day and age where this is a day and age of entitlement. Like, people think they're entitled to everything. And not taking that for granted. To be thankful for the team that you have, the way that you play. Understand the way that you play is what wins you championships. You don't go out and out athletic people. Athletic people?
Yeah, sure.
Out athlete people?
Yeah, sure.
Athletical people.
Yeah,
not
sure.
Just athlete.
Go with
you
it.
You just go out and athlete people.
Yeah, go out athlete. Athlete people. Out athlete.
Yeah. You go out there and out play people.
Okay. Oof. Zeroing in on the right one there. Good.
Yeah, we're getting in. We're tightening it up.
Yeah, sure.
We're like the Nuggets. We're tightening up
tightening up. Get ready for the playoffs.
Yeah.
So, in talking about Nikola Jokic, and at this point, we've run out of superlatives, run out of adjectives. Is there anything that he has gotten better at this year? Well, maybe he has.
He was so into the game tonight, so into the huddles, talking to guys, being vocal on the court. That shows you the investment. That shows you how much he cares about this team. Understanding, like, the message out of the All-Star break. Come on. I didn't tell him to send a text message. Him taking ownership of this team. Tonight, him showing up and saying, okay, I'm going to do what MVPs do. I'm going to help lead us to a win, because we've lost two games in a row with 7-8 games.
Is that where we've seen a new Jokic? Maybe not a new Jokic, because that implies that he's never been a leader or never has been vocal. But do you think he's taken it to another level?
I think he's done that in the past when he feels like it's the appropriate thing to do. The thing about Jokic that I appreciate as kind of the leader of that basketball team is that it's not one of those things he does all the time. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't start falling on deaf ears. He picks his moments, he picks his spots, and when he does it, it is received. And I think I think that's been maybe there's a little bit more frequency than there was when he was a younger player. But I don't think that's changed much. I think he did that last year, too, on their way to their first championship, Mike.
But he sends out the celebrated text coming out of the All-Star break. We still don't know what it said, but we could kind of gather
together
what it said. You know, let's go. We're the defending champs. Let's not take anything for granted. Let's be ready to roll. And what does the team do? They win 6 in a row coming out of the break and 11 of their first 12. So there you go. Leadership. Guys respond. And then you lose a couple in a row. He comes out and puts up another all-world performance. Got to stop this losing streak right in its tracks at 2. Get back to playing the way we need to play. Again, leadership. That's So here's what I want to get to. If this thing goes the way that we hope it goes, and they win another championship, they go back-to-back, and Nikola Jokic wins, he's going to win in the MVP this year, regular season MVP, it'll be his third. And you got to figure if they win another NBA championship, he'll probably be the finals MVP. If this happens, where's he going to be ranked? Where do you put him?
Oh,
among the all-time greats?
All-time great centers?
How far? No. All-time great players.
Okay, all-time great players.
Where is he in position to jump to? What position?
Whew.
You would be a 3-time MVP, a 2-time champion, and a 2-time, likely, finals MVP.
Would anybody be willing to put him in that conversation with the all-time greats?
Well, to me, he automatically jumps into the top 10. Automatically.
So, you would throw him in there with Bill Russell, Will Chamberlain, Larry Bird,
Magic, Michael, LeBron. Tim Duncan. Yeah. Take the guys that you see, take see, the guys that you easily put in your top 10, and are you willing to put make room for Jokic?
See, it's like I get nostalgia maybe, but it's hard to think of him like you think of Michael or Larry Bird or Magic Johnson. It's hard to think of him in those terms.
Sure.
But then when you say...
Because we've seen where he's come from.
Right. But then when you say guys, like when you say, you know, the Malones, the Malones and Stocktons, when you talk about a guy Elijah Wan.
I didn't even include Shaq. I didn't include Kobe there. So we're talking about, like... we're talking about rarefied air just to find a spot for him in the top 10. But...
See, when you say Duncan, when you say Duncan, I'm like, yeah, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, Duncan's okay.
Sure.
But when you say Michael or Bird or when you say Magic, I'm like, whoa.
Well, you're talking about guys that, like, literally brought the NBA back from the precipice. This was a league that was in rough shape. The modern NBA that maybe younger fans follow, trust me, it bears no resemblance to what it looked like 30, 40 years ago when literally the championship games were not shown on live TV. If you wanted to watch the NBA finals, they were like shown on tape delay. Mm. That's how bad it was. You know, the league was riddled with drug abuse. And I mean, it was in rough shape. So you're talking about guys who came along who not only were great, but literally like saved the game. And so they became immortals. But I think the way it's going, you've got to find room for Jokic in the top 10. But where?
Yeah, when you first said that, I said, okay, top 20, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
But top 10?
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I didn't even bring up him.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Right. But you'd be talking about two championships, back-to-back, three MVPs, and likely two NBA Finals MVPs. To me, you got to find room.
Yeah.
Got to find room in the top 10.
Well, first off, he's got to win another MVP.
Well, he's going to.
Oh.
He's going to.
I don't know. Stephen A. Smith's got other plans.
He's going to.
Ignorant.
What's trending is coming up, and we got a Kansas City Chief in trouble. That's next.
Here's Schlereth and Evans with What's Trending right now.
All right, here we go. The Nuggets. It's funny. You talk about how far this franchise has come from the levels that they were at, where clinching a playoff spot for the sixth straight year. Not many teams in the league can brag of a streak like that. In fact, Johnny, can you look that up for me? What are the current longest playoff streaks? Current longest playoff streaks, consecutive playoff streaks in the NBA. Teams that have been to the playoffs the most years in a row. Years ago, if I said, hey, yeah, there's an era of Denver Nuggets basketball coming up where they're going to be in the playoffs six straight years, you'd be like, right.
Yeah, give me a break.
But here it is, making the playoffs, and we're just like, playoffs? Let me go full moron on you. Playoffs?
I was surprised when you said they clinched yesterday. I was like, that it took it that long? I figured they'd have been clinched already.
Well, obviously, Michael Malone and all of us with goals much higher than just simply making the playoffs.
As I told our players, like, that's cool, 6 years in a row, but, like, that wasn't a goal this year to make the playoffs. You know, we have a bullseye in our back. We're the reigning world champs, and so that's what our goal is to repeat. And it's going to be a hell of a challenge, but we're all signed up for that.
Talk about the standard being the standard.
Yes.
Boy, has the standard changed around here. Something that you would have absolutely craved as a Nuggets fan back in the day, the idea of going to the playoffs six straight times. Now it's like, playoffs? That was just assumed.
Yeah.
That this team's got to be in the playoffs. We're about winning a championship again.
Yeah, like I said, I was surprised when they said, hey, yeah, it's just 6 years in a row or clinched the playoffs. That was shocking. I was like, they hadn't already clinched the playoffs? I mean, the playoffs are just a foregone conclusion.
We got a Kansas City Chief in trouble.
Oh, nuts.
Wide receiver Rashee Rice. So here's the update from Dallas police say two drivers in a Corvette and Lamborghini were racing when they both lost control of their vehicles and crashed, causing a six-vehicle accident. The suspected Corvette driver is Chiefs wide receiver Rashee Rice. And both drivers ran from the crash without stopping.
Ugh.
So police are now searching for Rice.
You know what I think? I think it was Otani's. I think it was his translator that was driving the Corvette. What do you think?
Blame it all on the... Is it just translator?
Translator.
Wow.
Son of a gun took my Corvette.
First of all, it's not a laughing matter.
No, it's not.
But, geez.
You had the rug situation.
Yeah.
You had a situation in D.C. with the Washington Commanders. There was two, I think Jamin Davis, I don't want to talk out of turn. I think it was Jamin Davis, their linebacker, but somebody else. Like, it's sad, but the fact that you ran from the scene, not good.
I've always half joked that part of the reason why the NFL has all of these mini camps and conditioning programs is just so they can get their guys in the building.
Oh, yeah.
And keep an eye on them.
Sure.
Because all these general managers around the NFL are just waiting for the phone to ring in the middle of the night.
So they were drag racing.
Drag racing.
Good use of your time.
Yeah. Smart.
Really smart.
Really smart. Then you get in an accident, then you run from it. Nice. Nice.
Right.
Great.
Character.
Yeah, it's character, right. High character guys.
High character
guys. High character guys in Kansas City. Now here's where you can take the gratuitous shots.
Yeah.
With the Chiefs.
Good call. Good call.
Johnny, you got the list of the consecutive playoff streaks?
Yeah, so according to landofbasketball.com, the three teams that have got a playoff spot are the Celtics, Nuggets, and Thunder. The Celtics had the longest playoff streak at 10, and the Nuggets are currently tied for third with the Sixers, but can drop to fourth when Philly clinches. That'll put Philly at 7 in a row and Denver at 6. So that would put Denver behind.
So Celtics 10, Philly is trying to get to 7.
Correct, and then the Milwaukee's trying to get to 8. So it would go Boston, Milwaukee, Philly, Denver.
Philly, I don't think Philly's going to make it. Philly's out right now.
Well, but Embiid's coming back.
Yeah,
he'll
right.
He'll be back.
He's 100% in the weight room.
Yeah. You should see him lifting.
Stop the cap.
Philly right now is in the play-in tournament. So I guess if you make the play-in tournament, that counts as the playoffs? Okay.
Sure.
So Philly, let's say Philly gets in. So Philly will be in the play-in tournament, and that'll be their 7th. So Celtics 10, Bucks 8, Sixers 7, Nuggets 6. Okay, there you go. Boy, UConn basketball right now is just a juggernaut. They are rolling into the Final Four. So, Mark, since UConn entered the tournament last year in 2023, here are their wins. Margin of victory. 24, 15, 23, 28, 13, 17, 39, 17, 30, and they just beat Illinois by 25.
Wow.
Wow. The Huskies' 10 NCAA tournament victories over the last two seasons have all come by double digits.
I saw something this morning on SportsCenter. They said that the Huskies have trailed during this tournament for a total of 28 seconds.
Wow.
Something like that.
Their four victories in this tournament have come by an average of 28 points per game.
Wow. Wait till they face Edie Beatty, though. You see that guy? That dude is like a land giant. That dude, he was shooting free throws, and it looked like a Nerf ball in his hands.
Yeah.
He's a big dude.
I'd like
to
get some sound of him, too, Johnny. Yeah. See what he sounds like.
What do you think it sounds like, Mark?
Go ahead, ask me a question.
So, Zach, you had a career day. 40 points in leading Purdue to the Final Four for the first time in 20 years. How'd you do it?
Fire hot.
Fire hot.
Something like that.
Fire hot.
Fire hot.
Is he the Geico caveman? Jeez, okay.
Basketball easy.
So we got our Final Four matchup. We've got, it's going to be good with Alabama and UConn.
Uh-huh.
And Purdue and North Carolina State. How about NC State?
NC State. Oh, they got the, what's their big guy's name?
DJ Burns.
DJ Burns versus Edie Beaties.
Oof.
Two big fellas.
NC State was not going to make the NCAA tournament. They went to the ACC tournament, and they haven't stopped. They won 5 games at the ACC tournament, 4 games in the NCAA tournament. They have won 9 win-or-go-home games since February 27th. How about that?
Good for that.
Everyone thought they'd have a letdown after they won the ACC championship. You know, how would they be able to keep that level up after winning 5 games in 5 days? No problem. And then they beat Duke. How satisfying was that win, huh?
Beat the Dukies.
Beat the Dukies. Duke is just no longer Duke, are they? Ever since Coach K left?
No, they're just a bunch of smart kids.
They're not Duke anymore.
No.
Duke used to, you'd see Duke and it would just, you know, it would get a reaction. It'd be intimidation. It'd be, oh no, Duke, right? Now it's like, Duke.
Whatever.
Congratulations to the DU Pioneers back in the Frozen Four. You talk about things not to take for granted. We were talking about the idea of don't take this Nuggets run for granted. Don't take the era that we're in with the Avalanche for granted. Do not take DU hockey for granted. That has just been a program that just year after year, decade after decade, just goes out and does it the right way. Plays at an incredibly high standard.
Well, 9 championships.
9 championships.
9 NCAA championships. That's crazy.
And going for a 10th in a couple of weeks. So everybody's off this weekend. They let basketball have all the attention. Then the following weekend will be the Frozen Four. They'll take on Boston University, Boston College, and Michigan in the other semifinal. Between those 4 schools, Blue Bloods. 28 national championships between those 4 schools. So there you go. That is what is a trending. Coming up next, a lot to react to. Got the Nuggets, you got the Avs. What about the idea that instead of drafting a quarterback this year, the Broncos wait to see if this guy shakes loose? Tell you who that is next.
You're listening to Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Man, just continue to love following the rags to riches story of Shedeur Sanders. Oh, he's come from the mud.
Small private school.
Able to get to a level, not playing Texas high school 6A football. So here's the latest story involving Shedeur Sanders. You check this out. He purchased the first Cybertruck in the state of Colorado.
What is a Cybertruck?
So a Cybertruck is a Tesla model. And so apparently this is the first Cybertruck that they delivered in Colorado. He gets the first Cybertruck. And it's a Cyber Beast. Goes for about $140,000.
Gotta have a Cyber Beast.
Goes from 0 to 60 in 2.6 seconds.
You know what you can do with that? Drag race it.
It's shatter resistant. The exoskeleton is made of stainless steel. Tesla claims it is built for, quote, any planet.
Have you ever driven in a Tesla?
No.
There's a lot of Teslas around here. I have been picked up in a Tesla.
Have you?
Yeah.
So anyway, Shedeur, living his best life.
Cybertruck, good for him.
So he now owns 3 cars.
Are you a car guy?
No. Like, did I ever like dream of having a certain car?
Yeah.
In high school, I wanted to have a Camaro.
Oh, you want to be like Billy Madison?
I wanted a
Camaro. You get out of the Camaro playing Billy Squire, stroke, stroke me. So you just slammed the door, collar turned up.
The only time I ever like craved a specific car was, that was a Camaro. Now it's just like, hey.
If you're in the game, then strokes the word. I just see you coming out.
I think I was like influenced by like Kit or something.
Was Billy Madison, but Kit was a Trans Am.
I know. I like Trans Ams too.
Did Billy Madison get out of
Camaros?
Did he get out of a Camaro or get out of a Trans Am playing stroke? And it strokes the word.
So Shador now owns, let's see if I got this right. He owns a Rolls Royce Cullinan, which went for about $350,000. Then a Mercedes-Benz, is it a Mercedes-Maybach? Went for like $200,000. And now he's got this Cyber Beast Cybertruck, which goes for a little over $100,000. So
Billy Madison got out of a Pontiac Firebird.
Oh, yeah. All right.
So that's like a Trans Am.
Ah, yeah.
Trans Am. Kind of same type of thing.
Yeah.
The Camaro.
Were you a car guy? Were you a car guy in Alaska?
No, did not care.
By the way,
speaking of Billy Squire, my son Daniel in the minor leagues pitched with Billy Squire's nephew.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Da-na-na-na. Fred in Jacksonville sends in this text regarding our conversation earlier in the morning about Dak Prescott. We're already talking about getting Dak next season. Can we just let the foundation dry on the rebuild before we start talking about remodeling the kitchen? So what about this as a scenario? Instead of giving up valuable draft capital to try to move up for a guy that's got an 80% chance of being a bust,
mm-hmm.
or staying put at 12 and drafting a quarterback who's got an 80% chance of being a bust, do you just go with the full rebuild this year, play Stidham, draft a quarterback in the middle round, fine, but then load up and go after Dak Prescott as a free agent next year? Because here's what's going on in Dallas. It is push all the chips into the middle by Jerry Jones. It is like Super Bowl or bust. Otherwise, we are probably going to strip this thing down. Mike McCarthy, the head coach, is in the final year of his deal. Dak Prescott's in the final year of his deal. Heck, they hired Mike Zimmer to be their defensive coordinator, one-year deal. You can't send a clearer message. You got to go show me that you're a Super Bowl caliber team, Super Bowl caliber quarterback, Super Bowl caliber coach. Otherwise,
right,
we may go in a different direction. So
at least if you went after, if Dak became a free agent like Kirk Cousins did and left Minnesota and went to Atlanta, at least, at the very least, you're not giving up any draft capital. So if you're continuing to build your team through the draft and you go after a Dak, you can... You know, again, it just comes to how much you spend on that quarterback room. What percentage of your salary cap do you spend on that quarterback room? And if you have a bunch of other positions that are young, ascending players that you're not spending a lot of money on, that's a very manageable situation if that's the direction you decide to go in. Of course, it always works. I mean, it always works great if you've got a young quarterback who ends up, you know, being a draft pick. But you're going to have to spend, you know, ultimately, people always talked about, well, that fifth-year option, it's important. No, it's not. Because if your guy is worth his salt, if the guy is good, after his third year, you're going to renegotiate his deal. And he's going to be an upper echelon paid guy. If you've got to wait till the fifth year to figure out if your guy is, you got Daniel Jones. And you don't want him. So the fifth-year option when it comes to any of these first round picks is like that whole scenario is absolute 100% garbage.
Yeah, it is.
That whole narrative of, oh, it's important because you get that fifth year. Dude, if your guy is worth a squirt of urine, you're never going to see that fifth year on that contract.
If he's playing his fifth year, it's because the franchise is like, we've already decided you're not the guy, but we have nowhere else to turn.
Right.
And you represent the best of the least options we have.
Correct.
So we might as well just ride with you, kick the can down the road for one more year. Yeah, if you get to the fifth year with that guy, you're right. Problem with Dak is that you don't, unless you can guarantee that Dallas is going to fall short yet again, underachieve, can you really put your quarterback plans on hold for a year for something that might not happen?
Put your quarterback, like, not sign him to a long term. Well, you're basically saying
no. If you're the Broncos, you don't draft a quarterback this year because you're hoping that Dallas underachieves again this year and Dak gets.
But I don't think you're
freed.
I think that just becomes one of your options. Now, come on, we all know there's going to be a whole new class of quarterbacks that come out next year that, you know, the whole universe is going to be Twitter-pated over, and it's going to be like, oh, this guy's moving up, and this guy's, well, the same song and dance that we've gone through for the last however many years will be again next year. Oh, the 2018 class, this class rivals the 83 class. You know, it's the same garbage. Look at the last two draft classes, the 2021 and the 2022 quarterback draft classes. You want to talk about garbage.
Yeah, but then you're hoping you get the, 2021 that had, Burrow, Tua, Herbert?
Yeah, because Tua and Herbert have won so many things.
Well, that's what I say. And yet I'm shouted down as, no, they're franchise quarterbacks. I saw Cecil Lammy wrote at DenverSports.com. He was doing some thoughts,
uh-huh.
And he said, the Broncos can either trade up for their franchise quarterback,
mm-hmm.
or stay put and get the next class,
the next tier.
And I'm like, Cecil, come on, man. Don't fall for that. Just the way he phrased it. They could trade up to get their franchise quarterback.
Right.
Like, these guys up there are the franchise quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean they're franchise quarterbacks? They got an 8... Four of those guys are going to go in the top 4 or 5 or 6 picks, right?
Yeah.
4 of them. One has a chance, based on the odds, based on the math, yeah. based on the averages, one will turn out to be at least good.
Right. The rest of them will be Case Keenum.
Right.
I know what it means to be a franchise quarterback.
Exactly.
No, you don't.
Exactly.
No, you don't.
One of the four will either be good or great.
Yeah.
And by the way, what is your definition of great? Great is, are you leading your team to AFC, NFC championship games and Super Bowls? That's the definition of a... It's amazing how much the term franchise quarterback has gotten watered down.
Yeah. I mean, I got an argument, but just somebody came at me with Baker Mayfield. He just signed. He's a franchise quarterback. Like, they got that one right.
No, he's on his
fourth team.
No. We got to come up with a different term. Guys like Dak, guys like Baker Mayfield, they're starting quarterbacks in the NFL. There are plenty of guys that I have no problem calling starting quarterbacks.
Yes.
He's a starting quarterback in the NFL. Good for him. He's got, you know, he's one of 32 in the world. He's an established starting quarterback. That's it. He's not a franchise quarterback.
When you get drafted in the top 10, you're right. We need a new term. You get drafted in the top 10 and you become an established starting quarterback for a different franchise. You're no longer allowed to be called a franchise quarterback. You become a what quarterback?
You're a starting quarterback.
You're a starting quarterback.
You're a starting quarterback. Nothing wrong with that.
No.
There are plenty of good starting quarterbacks in the NFL, but don't call them franchise quarterbacks. How many franchise quarterbacks would you say there are in the NFL right now?
Ooh.
If we're going to have a different title or a different meaning to that, because I think the way to explain it better is to say, let's say the Broncos do draft a quarterback here in this draft.
Mm-hmm.
What will be, Broncos country, your expectation for that quarterback? What will signify to you that was a home run pick, that it was a successful pick? What has to happen?
You have to be a franchise guy.
Right.
You have to elevate your franchise. Right. You have to elevate people in your franchise. So it's not, hey, we got a guy, but we need receivers and we need this. No. A franchise guy elevates the the people around him. That's got to be part of the definition.
Right.
A franchise guy gives you an opportunity to cover warts. So when you do have a, whether it's offensively or defensively, when you do have a significantly hole in your roster, he covers that hole because he's that good. You got to be able to do that. You've got to be able to, you've got to pass the confetti test, meaning every year you have an opportunity to compete for a championship.
You're getting closer. You're zeroing in. Mark, this is a franchise that, this is a fan base that has a certain expectation. Even with all the bad football that we've watched over the last 7-8 years, this fan base knows what championship football looks like. And so there is an expectation that if you make the bold move to go out and draft a quarterback high up in the first round, especially if you trade up for that quarterback, what are the expectations for that quarterback? It's Denver. It's the Broncos quarterback. The expectation is you are going to take this team to AFC Championship games and Super Bowls. Heck, they trade for Russell Wilson. What was the first thing we were talking about in the immediate aftermath of the Russell Wilson trade was not if they would win a Super Bowl with Russ,
how many
they would win with Russ, which seems silly now, but that was the immediate reaction. So if they go and trade up for J.J. McCarthy, heck, if they stay put and take Bo Nix at 12, I'm sorry, that quarterback walks in here with the idea that if he is simply a starter for 10 years...
Not good enough.
That's not good enough.
Yeah.
That this guy comes with the expectation you are going to lead this team eventually to a Super Bowl. Now, that might be hard. That might be unfair. That might be setting the bar unrealistically high, but that's where it's going to be set. So, and you can't tell me that if you draft a quarterback here and he simply is a good starting quarterback who, wins his fair share of games and goes to the playoffs, but doesn't get this team to a championship game or to a Super Bowl. You telling me that this fan base, after 6-7 years with that guy, is going to be happy with that guy?
Right.
No way.
Oh, you become Dak Prescott.
Right.
Pro Bowls, 30-plus touchdowns, less than 10 interceptions, and what? No, we don't want to sign you to a long-term deal. Even though you put up all-pro numbers, even though you're an all-pro player, even though you were in the MVP discussion for the majority of the season, we don't want to pay you. We don't trust you long term. Which is, like, for Dak, that to me is craziness, but I understand. I wouldn't want to pay him $60 million a year either.